When you come to understand certain realities about purgatory, for instance, that 1 week feels like 700 years, that the least pain in purgatory is more painful than the greatest pain on earth, and that the time in purgatory that you could spend for one confessed mortal sin could be up to 7 years, you can gather an incredible amount of anxiety at the prayers and penances that we need to do, especially if you're someone who's sick, weak, or older. And when you look at the statistics of my channel, Uniquely Mary, and by the way, I have a second channel, Uniquely Mystic, most of my audience is, including myself, in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. What are we on earth supposed to do and able to do all that penance? Well, the following mystic, Angela of the Cross, a Dominican, was in that exact same position. She prayed and asked God to give her something else that she could do. Jesus appeared to her and revealed to her a powerful prayer to do both for the living and for the souls in purgatory. And the prayer gives us a blueprint from which we can understand other prayers that we can make to atone for all of our sins and to greatly help the souls in purgatory. We're going to get to that in today's video. Before we hear that story, I want to share with you another one from another Dominican that helps us understand the reality of penance and purgatory. This is the story of the Virgin Angela of Ptolemy. Listen to this. Oh, what would the souls in purgatory not give to recover even a few brief moments of the earthly life that we so often squander on passing distractions and empty pursuits? How willingly they would embrace the hardest penances. How joyfully would they undertake the most difficult labors if they only might lessen, even for a single moment, the indescribable sufferings they now endure. The example that follows, though extraordinary, illustrates this truth in a striking manner. It concerns the Venerable Virgin Angela Ptolemy, a Dominican nun whose life was distinguished by heroic virtue from her earliest years. Her story demonstrates both the severity of divine justice and the immeasurable value of even the smallest opportunity to perform penance while still living upon earth. From her earliest childhood, the Venerable Angela Ptolemy was formed in the fear and love of God. Entering the Dominican order while still young, she advanced rapidly in every virtue through humility, obedience, recollection, and an ardent spirit of penance. Her heart was especially devoted to the souls in purgatory. She remembered them continually in her prayers and sacrifices, and God often rewarded this charity by allowing her to understand something of their sufferings and their longing for the beatific vision. Among the religious of her convent was a sister who had lived a good and edifying life, yet who had not practiced the spirit of penance with sufficient generosity. Much like us, right? She had faithfully fulfilled her religious duties, but had often sought reasonable comforts and had neglected many opportunities for voluntary mortification. When she died, the community naturally believed that her purification would be brief. Several days later, however, the deceased sister appeared to Angela. Her appearance inspired both reverence and compassion. Although surrounded by an atmosphere of peace that revealed the certainty of her salvation, her countenance bore unmistakable signs of profound suffering. Angela, moved by charity, asked gently, "My sister, what has become of you since leaving this world?" The departed religious answered, "I am saved through the infinite mercy of God. Yet I remain detained in purgatory, where divine justice requires satisfaction for the imperfections that still clung to my soul." She continued, "How little we understand, while living upon earth, the value of even the smallest act of self-denial. Many opportunities for merit were placed before me every day. I allowed them to pass without appreciating their eternal worth. Now I would willingly endure the greatest hardships of earthly life if only I could return for a single hour." These words deeply impressed Angela. The soul then added, "By a special permission of God, I've come to ask your prayers, but I've also come to tell you that the time of merit belongs only to this present life. Once death has come, we can no longer increase our merits. We could only satisfy divine justice through suffering while depending entirely upon the charity of the faithful. Having spoken these words, the apparition disappeared, leaving Angela filled with renewed zeal for penance and an even greater compassion for the holy souls. It's because of this truth and this reality that nearly all the saints did incredible amounts of penance. In fact, none of them would tell you not to do penance. It was just the bread and butter. That's what they did. That's how they lived. They would say that that's part of the normal formula of becoming a saint. Now let's listen to the story of Agatha of the Cross, because Jesus reveals to her another path that we could consider. And yet, lest we should seem to assert that in our chronicles, God's justice is made too terrible and the necessity of an exact discharge of bodily penance absolute and rigorous, let us conclude with what we may really call an indulgence granted by God to Agatha of the Cross. She was grown old and infirm, unable to practice penance, and yet continually urged and inspired to pray for the living and to relieve the dead. "Alas, my God," said the venerable sister as she wept over her incapacity and infirmity, "what can I do? I have nothing now to offer in satisfaction for these poor souls." Then God delivered her from this distress of mind and taught her two prayers, which she was often to repeat in lieu of her former penances. The first was for herself and was as follows: "Eternal Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son and my divine Redeemer, I beseech thee to pardon me all the faults and imperfections which during the whole course of my life I have ever committed against thy holy will in thought, word, and deed, or by omission of that which I was bound to do for the service of my neighbor. Be pleased to cleanse and purify my heart, that I may never grieve thee more." This prayer, said our Lord, you are always to repeat before you pray for anyone else, in order to appease me if I am angry with you. Now, I need to stop there and just point out the incredible wisdom that Jesus is saying. Whenever a person goes to a priest or a deacon or whoever is going to read the gospel, they say a prayer that comes from the scriptures that essentially it's something like purify my lips that I may say this, that I may read this gospel worthily, something like that. And the reality of that is that sometimes we don't consider that we need to purify our impurities before we even pray for other people, because then we could be more effective in helping other people. And Jesus is telling her this. So this is just that revelation is incredible. Before you go to pray for others, be at peace with God and offer atonement for whatever sins you have committed that day before the Lord, before you pray for others, so that you can actually, as the scriptures say, kind of make peace with someone that you're angry at before you come and offer to God. And conversely, before you pray for others, make sure you're at peace with God. So let's continue to hear the other prayer that he teaches. "This prayer," said our Lord, "you are always to repeat before you pray for anyone else, in order to appease me if I'm angry with you. You shall then pray for the souls in purgatory as follows: Eternal Father, for the sake of Jesus, thy divine Son, and for the love which moved him to become man and to suffer as man, and by the merits of his most holy passion and death, and by the infinite love wherewith he shed all his blood for us, I pray and conjure thee to release from purgatory the souls of all my relations and friends, my confessors and spiritual fathers who have helped me with their advice and counsel, my benefactors and all those who have wished me ill and persecute me, and in general, I pray on behalf of all souls detained there by thy justice." "You will say this prayer often during the day," continued our Lord, "and each time a certain relief will be afforded these souls." "But how is it possible," answered Agatha, "that for so small a thing that will show so great a grace as the deliverance of a soul from purgatory?" "The remembrance of my passion," he replied, "renewed therein, is of such value that I cannot choose but pour out my mercies on those on whose behalf it is invoked." In that statement, Jesus reveals a profound an incredible secret that in his passion and the remembrance of it, so we see this in the Mass, in the Stations of the Cross, in the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, in the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary, and any prayer that causes us to remember the Passion or to invoke it, that is the secret sauce. That's the blueprint that we can take, and we have all these different prayers. The St. Gertrude prayer is another one, because we're calling upon and remembering the blood that he shed. But we can also essentially take those formulas and custom fit them for our needs, remembering some particular aspect, his suffering in the crown of thorns, the flagellation, etc., that when we remember any of these, we can call down incredible graces, making reparation for us, the living, as well as for the dead. Now, the following quote kind of unpacks that even more, and this is from the Diary of Divine Mercy, 369. There is more merit to 1 hour of meditation on my sorrowful passion than there is to a whole year of flagellation that draws blood. The contemplation of my painful wounds is of great profit to you, and it brings me great joy. That tells us everything. That's the value of meditating and praying with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. So if you are too old to do penance, and we should do penance to grow in virtue, we should do penance for our sins, we should do penance for the souls in purgatory. But if you're sick, or you're infirm, or you're too old, or perhaps you're just too cowardly, those prayers and others that call upon the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ are what you should do. They are powerful. Do them first for yourself to be at peace with God, then pray for the living and the souls in purgatory, and you will bring them incredible relief. Before we end, the next weekend, July 31st, August 1st and 2nd, 2026, I'll be leading a generational healing retreat with Patrick and Joy Campbell and Father Cecil Spotswood in Rosa Mystica Shrine in upstate New York. There are still open spots to attend and be there physically. However, if you want to watch the retreat virtually, click this link, and I will put it in the description, and use the code ALVARO26, or the code on the screen. Again, I'll put that also in the description. If this has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.